this message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, as you saw earlier, today's reading is from Acts chapter 20, and this section of Scripture has some very important information that applies to every single one of us as Christians. However, this reading especially gets my attention, because today's reading, the Apostle Paul gives some very important advice to his fellow pastors. And since I'm a pastor, a called and ordained servant of the Word, I need to listen closely to what Paul says here. Now, of course, since I'm your pastor, these words also apply to you, because God used you to call me here to be your pastor, that I might bless you by faithfully proclaiming God's Word to you. So with that in mind, let's examine today's reading and learn what God wants to teach us today. Now at the beginning of our reading, we see that Paul ends up in a city known as Miletus after doing mission work in various other cities. Now one of the cities in which Paul did mission work prior to this was a city known as Ephesus. Now, if you read the Bible, you find out that many Jews and Gentiles in Ephesus came to faith in Jesus. And eventually, some of the men there received training so they could be pastors for the people in the region of Ephesus. Now, once Paul arrived in Miletus, we're told that he sent word to the Ephesian pastors to come to him in Miletus so he could meet with them in person. Now, if you look at a map of the area, you'll see that Miletus was about 40 miles south of Ephesus. So it took a few days for the Ephesian pastors to walk there, but they were dedicated to this journey because Paul was one of the apostles chosen by Jesus himself. So the Ephesian pastors wanted to hear what Paul had to say to them in person. Of course, that leads to a question. What did Paul say to them? Well, if you look at verses 18 through 21 of our reading, Paul stresses, first of all, that he worked very hard and endured much suffering in order to make sure that people heard the truth. Paul said, "I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in the Lord Jesus." Now obviously, even though there are many, many, many things a pastor can teach his people, the core of our faith is repentance and faith in Jesus. In other words, if you're going to be a Christian, at bare minimum, you need to acknowledge your sins and confess their evil nature, and then trust in Jesus as your Savior from those sins, who gives you forgiveness and new life with God. If either one of those are missing, you're not a Christian. For example, if you don't take your sins seriously, if you blow off certain sins in your life, even though God's word condemns them, then call yourself a Christian all you want, you're not. In the same way, maybe you do take your sins seriously. Maybe you do know that you're a sinner, but instead of trusting in Jesus alone as your Savior, you trust in your own works to make up for your sins. Well, in that case, you're not a Christian either. No, according to Scripture, what makes a Christian is repentance and faith in Jesus. Acknowledging the sins that God's Word exposes in your life, humbly repenting of them, and trusting in Jesus alone, who cleanses you from your sins and makes you righteous before God. Paul says this because he wants these Ephesian pastors to follow his example of preaching and teaching. Paul wants them to work hard in the ministry and to speak God's truth in love, even if it means being persecuted for being faithful to God's word. Now, let's look at verses 22 through 24. Paul goes on to say that the Holy Spirit is leading him to go on to Jerusalem and to do more mission work there. Now, Paul isn't exactly sure what's going to happen, but he does know that he will face persecution. And my friends, this part of our reading is a great inspiration to me and to every Christian. You see, even though Paul knows that living for Jesus and being a witness for Him will result in persecution and hardship, he's still willing to follow Christ and be faithful to Him. Of course, that leads to a question. Why is Paul willing to be a witness for Jesus, even though he knows it will mean hardship and persecution? What's his motivation for being willing to endure this? Well, the reason that Paul is willing to do this is that he knows that he has been given what he needs most. Paul has the forgiveness of all his sins through faith in Jesus' sacrificial death, and he has the certain hope of the resurrection and eternal life through faith in Christ's victory over the grave. So it's God's love for Paul and the salvation that he's given him that gives him the desire to love God in return by living according to his will, even if that means personal sacrifice. And as I said, this is a wonderful example for us Christians today, and especially for me as your pastor. I mean, let's face it, sometimes living as a Christian can be very difficult. You see, being a Christian means that we repent of the sins that we struggle with in our lives, and that's not easy to do. Our natural inclination is to do what we want to do. Our natural inclination is to fulfill our desires, whatever they may be. But being a Christian means saying no to those evil desires. Being a Christian means saying no to the things we want to do because we know that God's Word says we shouldn't do them. And that can be a challenge, especially when we see people around us doing what they want to do and having fun doing it. In addition, being a Christian also means that we learn to say yes to the good things that God wants us to do, even though saying yes may mean hard work and sacrifice. I mean, let's face it, life would probably be a whole lot easier if we simply lived for ourselves and didn't care about serving God or other people. Serving God and other people means saying no to yourself and putting others first and sacrificing. But this is what God has called us to do. And doing that as a Christian can be a challenge at times. But you know, even though living as a Christian can be a real challenge in a world where there are so many distractions and deceptions from the devil, and even though being faithful to God's Word can be hard when the result is sometimes that people will ignore you or mock you or even persecute you, nevertheless, we have courage. We have comfort and we have hope because through Jesus, we know that our many sins are forgiven, and through Jesus, we know that we have the certain hope of eternal life even in the face of death itself. Now, in addition, even though there are people in this world who may hate us because they also hate God's Word, nevertheless, we Christians have to remember that we're not alone. Not only will God never leave us or forsake us, but we also have been given one another. We can support one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. In fact, that's why it's so important for us to meet together like we're doing today. That's why it's so important for us to pray for one another. That's why it's so important for us to encourage one another and to help each other in times of need. I know that I thank God every day for you, my brothers and sisters in Christ here at Concordia. I also thank Him for other Christian friends that He has given me throughout my life. That reminds me that I'm not alone. With that said, let's look at verses 25 through 31. Here, Paul gives the Ephesian pastor some information that is very difficult for them to hear. What does Paul say? Well, first, he lets them know that he will never, ever see them again, at least not in this life. And that news is devastating to them. No wonder Paul wanted to meet with them in person. He knew that after that day, he would never see them again. Secondly, Paul stresses that they must show love for God's people. How? By faithfully proclaiming his word to them. Paul speaks these words to those Ephesian pastors, but those words also apply to us pastors today. Listen to what Paul says. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. Here we see that pastors are entrusted with the responsibility of shepherding God's people. And how do we shepherd you? We use the staff of God's word. And so my primary job as a pastor, in addition to all my other duties, my primary job is to preach and teach God's word in its truth and purity. And you know what that means as far as what your primary job is as a Christian layperson? Even though you have many various duties and responsibilities that God has given you, your primary focus as a Christian is to receive the preaching and teaching that God longs to give to you through me, the shepherd that he has given to you. Through the preaching and teaching that God gives to you through me, he will comfort you and give you the nurture and the wisdom you need to live as God's child every day in this world. In fact, this reminds me of what Paul once wrote to a young pastor named Timothy. Listen to what he says. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul writes, "Devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given to you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Watch, give yourself wholly to them, so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and your doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers." Now, my friends, the only way that I can fulfill this awesome responsibility is by the grace of God and by your loving support and prayers. You see, pastors are not a spiritual elite. I'm a sinner just like you. That means only by God's grace and only by your loving support and prayers can I be the kind of godly pastor that Christ wants me to be. So I ask you, please pray that God will help me to be faithful, and also pray that God will motivate you to receive the gifts that God wants you to receive through me as I preach and teach God's word for you. Having said that, Paul then mentions yet another detail that is very difficult for the Ephesian pastors to hear. Paul warns them that false teachers will arise who will distort the truth of God's word and bring much harm to God's sheep. In fact, Paul suggests that some of these false teachers will even come from their own midst and claim to represent Christ. They will call themselves Christian pastors. But we will know that they are not Christians because their teaching will conflict with Christ's teaching as is given to us in Holy Scripture. My friends, even though Paul wrote these words almost 2,000 years ago, they couldn't be more relevant for our world today. We live in a culture where sadly many false teachers have arisen, and some of them claim to be Christians even though they deny core teachings of the Christian faith. And sadly many have been misled by them. You know, it grieves me to say that I have actually met some pastors in this area who deny that Jesus is God and deny that he died for our sins. And yet they claim to be Christian pastors, and some people follow them. Therefore, we need to ask God to help us to remain faithful to his word, as we sang in the hymns. We need to ask God to do that because we're no better than anybody else. I'm as much a sinner as anybody else. Except for the grace of God and the Holy Spirit, I could just as easily end up being a false teacher, preaching what people want to hear. And the same could happen to you, except by the grace of God. So we must all ask God to help us to remain faithful to His Word in a world where it can be difficult to do that. We must therefore also make it a priority to hear and study God's Word on a regular basis, because that's what will help us to discern error from truth and allow us to be a witness for Jesus in our generation, where so many people are being deceived by the appealing lies of the evil one. You know, that fact reminds me of what Paul wrote to a young pastor named Timothy on another occasion. Listen carefully to what Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He says, "Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry." Finally, Paul gives the Ephesian pastors and us these wonderful words of encouragement. I'm so glad Paul gives us these words, because after hearing what God calls us to do, it can be a bit overwhelming. When I think of my responsibilities as a pastor, when you think of what God has called you to do and be as a Christian, it can be a bit overwhelming. So Paul gives us these wonderful words of comfort. He says, "Now I commit you to God and to the word of His grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." To put it simply, Paul is saying that we are in God's loving hands. The word of God's grace will build us up. It will build us up by assuring us that we are forgiven even when we fail. You know, that's such a comfort to me. Because when I look at my life over the years, if I'm honest with myself, I see a lot of failure. I see a lot of times when I didn't do the good things I should have done. I see a lot of times when I did the evil things I should not have done. In the midst of all of that, I thank God that He tells me that through Jesus, I am forgiven. And that same good news is also proclaimed to you. When you're faced with your many failures and sins, you can know that through Jesus, you are completely forgiven and holy in God's sight. That's how God's grace builds us up. Another way that His grace builds us up is by assuring us that He is with us, even when we feel alone and forsaken. There are times in this life when we're enduring difficulties because we're striving to live for Jesus. And when we endure those difficulties, it can begin to make us feel as though God has forsaken us. But we know that's not the case. God's promise is that He is with us always, and that He will never leave us or forsake us. That graceful message builds us up. And finally, God's grace builds us up by assuring us of certain hope when things seem hopeless. Let's face it, when we go through the challenges that everybody has to face in this life, but especially if we have to end up being persecuted for our faith in Jesus, we can begin to feel hopeless. But that's when God reminds us of the certain hope that we have in Jesus. Our sins are forgiven, and we have the certain hope of eternal life, even in the face of death itself. So, with all that said, I thank God that I have the privilege of proclaiming His word of grace to you. In the place of Christ and by His command, I get to say to you, your sins are forgiven. You are God's dearly loved children. You have the certain hope of eternal life because of Jesus. My My friends, this word of grace gives us the comfort and the strength that we need to live as God's children every day. And this same word of grace is what gives me the comfort and strength I need to serve you as your pastor. I mean, just think of it. What Paul says to those Ephesian pastors is also true for each and every one of us who trust in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Paul says that we have been given an inheritance. Now, usually when we think of inheritance, we dream of some rich relative dying and giving us $1 million. Obviously, most of us would consider that to be good news. But what Paul is saying here is that the inheritance that God gives us is 1,000,000 times greater than any inheritance we could receive in this world. The inheritance that Jesus gives us is what we really need and gives us hope in the face of anything that we might endure in this life. To help you understand what this awesome inheritance is that you have in Jesus, listen to what Peter writes about it in 1 Peter chapter 1. He says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Isn't that awesome? We have an eternal inheritance through faith in Jesus. And this inheritance is the foundation and the motivation for my life as your pastor, and it's also the foundation and the motivation for your lives as God's people, as all of us together strive to live for Jesus in this world and be His witnesses in our generation. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.